So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47, the Song of the Bee, and today is text 12 and 13. This is a different tune for this particular two, well, many of these verses here as the gopis will speak. Let's see if I get it right. I checked with Krishna Swarup Prabhu for the particular tune, so let's see if we get it. Gopya Uvacha. Madhupakita Vabando Maspishingam Sapatnya. Kucha vilulita mala kumkumas mashrubirna. Bhatu madhupatistan mani ninam prasadam. Yaru sarasi vidambyam yasya dutas tamidrik. It's a little close. Again. Gopya vacha. Marupakita vabando maspishangrim sapatnya. Kucha vilulita mala kumkumas mashrubirna. Vahatu madhupatistan mani ninam prasadam. Yaru sarasi vidambyam yasya dutas tvamidrik. Anyone like to try? Gopi vacha. Devabandho maspishingam sapatnya. Kucha vilulita mala kumkumas mashrubina. Bahatu marupatistan manininam prasadam. Yaru sarasi vidambyam yasya dutas tvamidrik. Anyone else? Mataji? Sanskrit scholar? You just have to follow him.
Gopya vacha.
Madhupakita vabando maspishingam sapatnya. Kucha vilulita mala kumkumas mashrubina. Bahu madhupatistan maninam prasadam. Yaru sarasi vidambyam yasya dutas tvamidrik. Srila Prabhupada must be listening and smiling in all these Kali Yuga brahmanas. Okay, so we'll do the word for word for this one. Gopi uvacha. The gopi said, Madhupa, O bumblebee.
Kitava.
Of a cheater.
Bandho.
O friend.
Maspisha.
Please do not touch.
Angrim.
The feet.
Sapatnya.
Of the lover who is our rival. Kucha.
The breast.
Vilulita.
Fallen
from.
Mala.
From the garland.
Kunkuma.
With the red cosmetic.
Smashrubhihi.
With the whiskers.
Naha.
Our.
Vahatu.
Let him bring.
Madhupati.
The Lord of the Madhu dynasty. Tat.
His.
Manininam.
To the women.
Prasadam.
Mercy
or kindness.
Sadasi.
In the royal assembly of the Yadus. I mean Yadu Sadasi. Yadu Sadasi. In the royal assembly of the Yadus.
Vidamyam.
An object of ridicule or contempt.
Yasya.
Whose.
Dutaha.
Messenger.
Tam.
You.
Idrik.
Such. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The gopi said, O honeybee, O friend of a cheater, don't touch my feet with your whiskers, which are smeared with the kumkum that rubbed onto Krishna's garland when it was crushed by the breasts of a rival lover. Let Krishna satisfy the women of Mathura. One who sends a messenger like you will certainly be ridiculed in the Yadu's assembly. Purport. Srimati Radharani indirectly chastised Krishna by chastising the bumblebee, which she took for his messenger. She addressed the bumblebee as Madhupa, one who drinks the nectar of flowers. And she addressed Krishna as Madhupati, the Lord of Madhu. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that this and the following 9 verses exemplify 10 kinds of impulsive speech spoken by a lover. This verse illustrates the qualities of Prajalpa as described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the following verse from his Ujjwala Neelamani 14.182. Asu yersha madayuja yova dhirana mudraya priyasya kaushalo gara prajalpa satu kirtyati. Prajalpa is speech that denigrates the tactlessness of one's lover with expressions of disrespect. It is spoken in a mood of envy, jealousy, and pride. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the word Kitava Bandhu expresses envy. The phrase from Sapatnyaya to Naha, jealousy. The phrase Masprisha Angrim, pride. And the phrase from Vahatu to Prasadam, disrespect. While the phrase from Yadu Sadasi to the end of the verse decries Krishna's tactless treatment of Radharani. Text number 13.
Sakriradhara suram swamoinim payayitva sumanasa iva sadyas tatya jesman bhavadrik paricharati katham tat parapadmam nupadma yapi bata hrita cheta yuttama shloka jalpai.
I should hurry, Parayan Prabhu can sing it much better than me. Translation. After making us drink the enchanting nectar of his lips only once, Krishna suddenly abandoned us, just as you might quickly abandon some flowers. How is it then that Goddess Padma willingly serves his lotus feet? Alas, the answer must certainly be that her mind has been stolen away by his deceitful words. Purport. In this verse, Srimati Radharani continues to compare Sri Krishna to the bumblebee, and in her distress, she states that the reason the goddess of fortune is constantly devoted to his lotus feet must be that she has been fooled by Krishna's promises. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, this statement of Srimati Radharani illustrates Parijalpa as described in Sri Ujjvala Neelamani. Prabhur nidayata satya chapalya upapadanat svavichakshanata vyaktir bhangyasyat parijalpitam. Parijalpa is that speech which, through various devices, shows one's own cleverness by exposing the mercilessness, duplicity, unreliability, and so on of one's Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Srila Virabahu Prabhu Iti Namine Shri Shri Vindata Vivida Parapanka Jadayini Prabhupada Nuvadaya Namaha Shri Virabhavi Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyatyadesha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, I'll just read the translation again just to remind. The gopi said, O honeybee, O friend of a cheater, don't touch my feet with your whiskers, which are smeared with the kumkuma that rubbed onto Krishna's garland when it was crushed by the breasts of a rival lover. Let Krishna satisfy the women of Mathura. One who sends a messenger like you will certainly be ridiculed in the Yadu's assembly. After making us drink the enchanting nectar of his lips only once, Krishna suddenly abandoned us, just as you might quickly abandon some flowers. How is it then that Goddess Padma willingly serves his lotus feet? Alas, the answer must certainly be that her mind has been stolen away by his deceitful words. So, this particular gopi is Srimati Radharani, discussing the, talking with the bee, the honeybee, bumblebee, sometimes described. So, Srila Prabhupada described that this type of separation, this mood of separation from the Supreme Lord, is the highest form of love of Godhead, and there are many stages of that. So I thought I'll read a little bit from the Krishna book, which explains a little more in Srila Prabhupada's own words about this particular pastime. Let's see here. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, text 6, a cheater is described, and among the cheaters, one of them who thought himself being a cheater was Ajamil in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'd just like to read this and then we'll look into the some verses from the Krishna book. It says here, Ajamil continued, that I am a shameless cheater who has killed his Brahminical culture. Indeed, I am sin personified. Where am I in comparison to the all-auspicious chanting of the holy name of Lord Narayan? And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada described, those engaged in broadcasting the holy name of Narayan Krishna through the Krishna consciousness movement should always consider what our position was before we came and what it is now. We had fallen into abominable lives as meat-eaters, drunkards, and women-hunters who performed all kinds of sinful activities. But now we have been given the opportunity to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, we should always appreciate this opportunity. By the grace of the Lord, we are opening many branches, and we should use this good fortune to chant the holy name of the Lord and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. We must be conscious of the difference between our present and past conditions and should always be very careful not to fall from the exalted, from this most exalted life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Srimati Radharani in her pure love is describing Krishna as a cheater, and she is going to describe many forms of Krishna also in this little reading that we'll do, and it's a very, very high topic, as you all know, Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10, especially this part with the gopis, because one may see it from one angle of vision as being very, very bad, and from the other side, from the other spiritual vision, it is actually the highest type of love that one can have for the Supreme Lord. So, this is Krishna book, and I'll just start here, chapter 47. This is from second paragraph down. I can understand that you're expert in reuniting two opposing parties. But at the same time, you must know that I cannot place my reliance upon you nor upon your master Krishna, Srimati Radharani speaks. We left our husbands, children and relatives only for Krishna, yet he did not feel any obligation in exchange. At last, he left us forlorn. Do you think we can place our faith in him again? We know that Krishna cannot live for a moment without the association of young women. That is his nature. He is finding difficulty in Mathura because he is no longer in the village among innocent cowherd girls. He is in the aristocratic society and must be feeling difficulty in making friendships with other young girls. Perhaps you have come here to canvass again or to take us there, but why should Krishna expect us to go there? He is greatly qualified to entice all other girls, not only in Vrindavan or Mathura, but all over the universe. So we'll see, this is one form of this ecstasy, where she is chastising. And then later on we'll see, after she has chastised, and she would feel badly that Krishna is hearing her, and then she would fall into another type of ecstasy, that now Krishna is probably feeling some pain because of my harsh words, and that will continue like that. He is greatly qualified to entice all other girls, not only in Vrindavan or Mathura, but all over the universe. His wonderfully enchanting smile is so attractive, and the movements of his eyebrows are so beautiful, that he can call for any woman from the heavenly, middle, or plutonic planets. Even Mahalakshmi, the greatest of all goddesses of fortune, hankers to render him some service. In comparison to all these women of the universe, what are we? We are very insignificant. And then she continues, Krishna advertises himself as magnanimous, and he is praised by great saints. His qualifications would be perfectly utilized if he would only show us some mercy, for we are so much downtrodden and neglected by him. You poor messenger, you are only a less intelligent servant. You do not know much about Krishna, how ungrateful and hard-hearted he has been, not only in this life, but in his previous lives also. We have all heard this from our grandmother Purnamasi. She has informed us that Krishna was born in a Kshatriya family previous to this birth and was known as Ramachandra. In that birth, instead of killing Bali, an enemy of his friend, in the manner of a Kshatriya, he killed him just like a hunter. A hunter takes a secure hiding place and then kills an animal without facing it. So Lord Ramachandra as a Kshatriya should have fought with Bali face to face, but instigated by his friend, he killed him from behind a tree. Thus he deviated from the religious principles of a Kshatriya. Now Srimati Radharani, when you are actually absorbed in someone, you can't help but talk about them. Even if sometimes we are absorbed in a particular situation or something, some problems is there in the community or something, it's on our mind. So everyone we meet, because we're so absorbed in that particular thing, we can't help but as soon as we meet somebody, we start talking about it. So here she is talking about not just Krishna, but the forms that Krishna has taken, and how he wasn't a good Kshatriya because he fought from behind a tree. The Kshatriya code is that you have to face someone when you're fighting with them, and if he has a weapon, then you take the same weapon. You don't. Everything has to be equal. Also, he was so attracted by the beauty of Sita that he converted Surpanaka, the sister of Ravan, into an ugly woman by cutting off her nose and ears. Surpanaka proposed an intimate relationship with him, and as a Kshatriya, he should have satisfied her. But he was so henpecked that he could not forget Sita Devi and converted Surpanaka into an ugly woman. Before that birth as a Kshatriya, he took his birth as a Brahmin boy named Vaman and asked charity from Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was so magnanimous that he gave him whatever he had, yet Krishna's Vamandev ungratefully arrested him just like a crow and pushed him down to the Patal kingdom. We know all that about Krishna and how ungrateful he is, but here is a difficulty. In spite of his being so cruel and hard-hearted, it is very difficult for us to give up talking about him. And it's not only we who are unable to give up this talk, but great sages and saintly persons also engage in talking about him. We gopis of Vrindavan do not want to make any more friendships with this blackish boy, but we do not know how we shall be able to give up remembering and talking about his activities. Since Krishna is absolute, his so-called unkind activities are as relishable as his kind activities. Therefore, saintly persons and great devotees like the gopis cannot give up Krishna in any circumstances. Lord Chaitanya therefore prayed, Krishna, you are free and independent in all respects. You can either embrace me or crush me under your feet, whatever you like. You may make me brokenhearted by not letting me see you throughout my whole life, but you are my only object of love. In my opinion, Srimati Radharani continued, no one should hear about Krishna, because as soon as a drop of nectar of his transcendental activities is poured into the air, one immediately rises above the duality of attraction and rejection. One should not hear about Krishna. that'll sound like a non-devotee. One should never hear about Krishna. But here we see Srimati Radharani qualifying that statement and saying, because as soon as one gets a drop of that nectar in his of his activities, when it is poured into his ear, one immediately rises above the duality of attraction and rejection. Being completely freed from the contamination of material attachment, one gives up attachment for this material world, including family, home, wife, children, and everything else materially that is dear to every person. Being deprived of all material acquisitions, one makes relatives and himself unhappy. Thus he wanders in search of Krishna, either as a human being or an other species of life, even as a bird, and voluntarily accepts the profession of a mendicant. It is very difficult to actually understand Krishna, his name, his qualities, his form, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, and his entourage. It is true that it is very difficult to understand Krishna. When one is a non-devotee, he cannot understand Krishna. There are people who ask, how is it that you can worship Krishna and he has so many wives? Lord Ramachandra taught the principle of one man, one wife. And here is Krishna with so many girlfriends. So it is difficult to understand Krishna, unless one has that bhakti, unless one has that love for Krishna and understands Krishna through his pure devotee. And that way we get a little semblance of who Krishna is, when the pure devotee of the Lord, like Srila Prabhupada, when he describes Krishna, then we can get a little glance into his reality. Srimati Radharani continued to speak to the black messenger of Krishna. Krishna is black and his messenger is also black. Please do not talk any more about Krishna. It is better to talk about something else. We are already doomed, like the black-spotted she-deer in the forest, who are enchanted by the sweet musical vibration of the hunter. In the same way, we have been enchanted by the sweet words of Krishna, and by thinking of the rays of his toenails again and again, we are becoming more and more lusty for his association. Therefore, I request you not to talk of Krishna anymore. These talks of Radharani with the bumblebee messenger, including her accusing Krishna in so many ways, and at the same time expressing her inability to give up talking about him, are signs of the topmost transcendental ecstasy called Mahabhava. The ecstatic Mahabhava manifestation is possible only in the persons of Radharani and her associates. So here is a distinction of those who could actually experience that very high state, Srimati Radharani and her associates. Great acharyas like Srila Rupa Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have analyzed these Mahabhava speeches of Srimati Radharani and described their different varieties, such as Udghurna, or bewilderment, and Jalpa Pratijalpa, or talking in different ways. These are the signs of Ujjwala Rasa, or the brightest jewel of love of God. When Radharani was talking with the bee, and the bee was flying hither and thither, it all of a sudden disappeared from her sight. She was in full mourning due to separation from Krishna, and felt ecstasy by talking with the bee. But as soon as the bee disappeared, she became almost mad, thinking that the messenger bee might have returned to Krishna to inform him all about her talking against him. So now here is a change. Krishna must be very sorry to hear that, she thought. In this way, she was overwhelmed by another type of ecstasy. Uddhava continued reading Krishna's message and said, "Nothing is separate from me. The whole cosmic manifestation is resting on me and is not separate from me. Before the creation, I was existing." That's the end of Krishna's sentence. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature. Eko Narayanam Asin, na Brahma na Ishanaha. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature. Before creation, there was only Narayan, There was no Brahma, no Shiva. The whole cosmic manifestation is manipulated by the three modes of material nature. It is said that Brahma, the incarnation of the quality of passion, create this universe. But Brahma is the secondary creator. The original creator is Narayana. This is confirmed by Shankaracharya. Narayana paro vyakta. Narayana is transcendental beyond the cosmic creation. In this way, nothing within this cosmic manifestation is separate from Krishna, although Krishna's original form is not visible in everything. Krishna creates, maintains, and annihilates the whole cosmic manifestation by expanding himself in different incarnations. Everything is Krishna, and everything depends on Krishna, but he is not perceived in the material energy, and therefore it is called Maya or illusion. In the spiritual energy, however, Krishna is perceived at every step, in all circumstances. This perfectional stage of understanding is represented by the gopis. As Krishna is always aloof from the cosmic manifestation, although it is completely dependent on him, so a living entity is also completely aloof from his material condition life, although the material body has developed on the basis of spiritual existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, the whole cosmic manifestation is accepted as the mother of the living entities, and Krishna is the father. As the father impregnates the mother by injecting the living entity into the womb, Krishna injects all the living entities into the womb of material nature. They come out in different bodies according to their different fruitive activities, but in all circumstances, the living entity is aloof from this material conditioned life. If we simply study our own bodies, we can understand how a living entity is always aloof from this bodily encagement. Every action of the body takes place by the interactions of the three modes of material nature. We can see at every moment many changes taking place in our bodies, but the spirit soul is aloof from all changes. The body goes through the six different changes. But the spirit soul remains the same. One can neither create nor annihilate nor interfere with the actions of material nature. The living entity is therefore entrapped by the material body and conditioned in three stages, namely while awake, asleep, and unconscious. And Srila Prabhupada continued to explain that. The mind acts throughout all three conditions of life. The living entity in his sleeping or dreaming condition sees something as real, and when awake he sees the same thing as unreal. It is concluded, therefore, that under certain circumstances he accepts something as real, and under other circumstances he accepts the very same thing as unreal. These matters are the subject of study for the empiric philosopher or the Sankhya yogi. To come to the right conclusion, Sankhya yogis undergo severe austerities and penances, practicing control of the senses and renunciation. All these different ways of determining the ultimate goal of life are compared to rivers, and Krishna is compared to the ocean. As the rivers flow down toward the ocean, all attempts for knowledge flow toward Krishna. After many, many births of endeavor, when one actually comes to Krishna, he attains the perfectional stage. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Klesho dikataraste sham avyakta sakta chetasam, from 12.5 of Bhagavad Gita. Is there any comments or observations or anything anybody would like to say? No, it's a lot of reading, sorry, I have to read so much. Okay, I'll continue. Just a little more. All are pursuing the path of realizing me, but those who have adopted courses without any bhakti find their endeavor very troublesome. Krishna cannot be understood unless one comes to the point of bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. Three paths are enunciated in the Bhagavad Gita: Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. Primarily, these three. Those who are too much addicted to fruitive activities are advised to perform actions which will bring them to bhakti. Those who are addicted to the pursuit of empiric philosophy are also advised to act in such a way that they will realize bhakti. Karma yoga is therefore different from ordinary karma, and jnana yoga is different from ordinary jnana. Ultimately, as stated by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita, bhaktya mam abhijanati, only through execution of devotional service can one understand Krishna. The perfectional stage of devotional service was achieved by the gopis because they did not care to know anything but Krishna. It is confirmed in the Vedas, kasmin bhagavo vigyate sarvam idam vigyatam bhavati. This means that simply by knowing Krishna, one automatically acquires all other knowledge. Uddhava continues with the message from Krishna. Transcendental knowledge of the Absolute is no longer necessary for you. You were accustomed to loving me from the very beginning of your lives. Knowledge of the Absolute Truth is specifically required for persons who want liberation from material existence. But one who has attained love for Krishna is already on the platform of liberation. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, anyone engaged in unalloyed devotional service is to be considered situated on the transcendental platform of liberation. The gopis did not actually feel any pangs of material existence, but they felt the separation of Krishna. Krishna therefore said, "My dear gopis, to increase your super excellent love for me, I have purposely separated myself from you so that you may be in constant meditation on me." Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments or observations? Nothing? Okay, so we'll end there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. This is our reading for the week. There's a question? Ramya Prabhu has a question? I don't know if I have the answer, but we'll hear the question.
Well, it's not a very major question, but here the Srimad Radharani is speaking in a way of criticizing Krishna. And I guess to me it's very important to know that we're extremely high level of devotion to Krishna, because she can criticize him at the same time she's so attached, so deeply in love with him, devoted to him.
Can you put the microphone a little closer?
Well, I don't think it's working too well. She's so deeply attached and devoted to Krishna that she cannot give him up even for a second. And I notice, I see sometimes in devotees and maybe even myself, that sometimes things don't go the way we expect and we get a little upset with Krishna. Why this thing happened this way instead of that way?
Right.
But it seems like our position is not like that. We can't criticize Krishna. We cannot chastise him. Why you didn't make things work out differently? Why did you...
Yeah, that's the difference between us and Srimati Radharani. Yeah, there's so many who have chastised Krishna. Demons usually chastise Krishna. We hear of Kamsa and Shishupal, so many others who are chastising Krishna and wanting to kill Krishna. So Srimati Radharani and the gopis here, they're also chastising Krishna, but from a different level of relationship. Thank you, that was very good. Okay.